Hello and welcome to Real Chat with Kat, the podcast dedicated to igniting your entrepreneurial spirit and empowering you to conquer new horizons. In this podcast, we chat with inspiring entrepreneurs on their journey to success through some amazingly insightful and expansive conversations. These episodes thrive on thought-provoking chats where our guests fearlessly explore their path to success, sharing their experiences, failures, and triumphs. No topic is off limits as we deep dive into the talked about and not so talked about pieces it takes to build a business, overcome limiting beliefs, deal with personal struggles, and everything in between that shapes our lives and our businesses. I'm your host, Kat Polsonelli, creator and founder at The Lotus Effect, where we believe that success is not just about strategies and tactics, it's about cultivating a powerful mindset and creating customized business operations that align with you and your true purpose. Whether it's mastering time management, improving productivity, enhancing leadership skills, or simply fostering a growth-oriented mindset, we'll provide you with the tools and strategies to flourish in both your business and personal life. I'm so excited to have you join us today in this episode, so get ready to feel empowered and inspired as we learn together and from one another on how to rise above challenges, break through limitations, and unlock our full potential. Let's dive in. Hello, hello, everyone, and thank you so much for joining me today on this episode. I am super excited to have this guest here with me today, Miss Jennifer Riccio, and I am I'm trying to calm down because I'm super excited, you guys. I got to be a part of her podcast and she's like freaking amazing. So Jennifer, do us a favor and tell us who you are, what it is that you do, and what got you into your space.
Well, thank you so much. I'm excited to be here as well because I think you rock. So my name is Jennifer Riccio, and you did beautiful with the last name. Did great. I put tangibility to soul and the soul of the business. So why do you want that? Because in order to create success, you have to put consciousness into everything you do. And most of us put our pain in programming. So when you know or have a structure to talk to the soul of your humanness and the soul or the energy of your business, that helps you make the choice to put consciousness in. And that's how movements are created. That's how, you know, people create empires. And I really am really great about seeing the entire business of someone in my head and helping them really energetically come into alignment so they can receive more. So that's what I do.
Oh, I love it. Now, what got you into that? What on earth led up to?
The short answer is God. The long answer is I was in marketing and PR, and I was talking to a client that we had who was an internationally known coach, and I'm a master intuitive. So I was guiding her on her relationship with her daughter. And she then fired us a month later and said, "You don't know my business." I did. I saw beyond the curtain and she couldn't take it. So I said to my boss and my best friend, it's like, "I'm going to go freelance in a couple months." And a couple months comes by and she said, "So you're going to go freelance tomorrow?" And I was like, "What are you talking about? I totally forgot." She's like, no, I made plans. She didn't make any plans, but that started me on the road of really tapping into my master intuitive gifts and really helping people move from the unconscious side of the beach to the conscious side of the beach. It sounds like a straight line. It wasn't. There was a lot of ups. There was a lot of downs. There was some bumps in the road, but I spoke at a conference about life purpose. And I was speaking about essential oils and life purpose. And when I got off the little platform, the stage there, people were lined up to talk to me. And I did so many clients at that conference that I took home, like I was paid for the conference itself. Wow. And then I took home a bunch of clients. So I had a business before I even knew I had a business. So that's kind of the short way I got here. And that was in 2008. So I've been here a long time.
How cool is that?
Yeah, it is cool.
And I love that you dive into the subconscious elements
of it as well, right? Like, I know that we've talked about this before, and this is something that a lot of people hear me talk about as well. I would love for you to elaborate, because I don't feel like a lot of people will understand, you know, the beautifulness of bringing people to that forefront and understanding how to reveal their own curtains by understanding how the subconscious works. So how could you explain that to someone that is new in that realm, that is like, this makes no sense to me?
Okay. So I'm going to tell you a story, because I think this is a really good way to describe it. So I used to live one house over. That's a whole nother story, but one house older. And the apartment below me was always attracted crazy energy. And there's this woman who's having the same conversation with her mother, her boyfriend, and someone else. And it's always the same way. You don't hear me. You don't listen to me. I keep telling you the same thing. And I wanted to go down and tell her, do you not realize that you're the constant and you're the problem, not all of those people, right? What she kept putting into all of those relationships was, I am unworthy of hearing. I am being unworthy of being heard and seen. And so that was the reflection she was getting back. So often we are unaware what we're putting into our relationship fields, and we're in a relationship field with everything on this planet. So you're in a relationship field with your money and your business and your desk, everything, right? And so often what we're doing is we're putting our painful experiences, our beliefs that enforce lack within us, into those fields, and we're unaware of it. And when we become aware of it, we can make a different choice. And then we can put pure goodness in it. And what's reflected back is goodness. So I'll use me as an example. So this happened like 15 years ago. So I was staying at my mom's, and I came out of my brother's old bedroom, where the guest bedroom is now. And I had on this lipstick. Now, I don't normally wear lipstick. So I had on this lipstick, and she went, I hate that lipstick. Now, old response would be, Jen would be like, whatever, I don't care. Blah, 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 scream my head off. Like, you, why are you so mean to me? Right. Like, why can't you say anything nice to me? Right. And like really feeling not good enough, because my mother decided that she didn't like my lipstick. So I just took a deep breath. I paused and I filled myself with knowing that I'm worthy. And she said, it's not that I don't like that lipstick on you. I don't like that lipstick because it reminds me of, and she said someone's name. And I totally knew what she meant, because that person was always mean to her. So I knew the background, right? So do you see how the relationship changed? Because I did something different, and that allowed the other person to make a better choice.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're operating on that unconscious, subconscious thing, we're operating on pain and not really choice.
Oh, I love that. That's such a beautiful explanation. You know, and if you think about it, like, you're talking about the difference between reacting to what someone says versus holding space and seeking out clarity, right? Which is a huge issue.
And it also allows you to really not make every experience the source of your happiness or your pain. Right.
Yeah.
So I got a letter from the IRS. Now, everyone says that, and we're like, IRS. And so I'm like, and it was like for this $495 that my account was supposed to, like, I went off. And I went, okay, we're going to calm down. We're going to take a deep breath. Okay. I do have the money. It's available in my account, right? So that's good news. Let's be like grateful about that. And then let's just call the IRS. And I call them, and Miss Saunders, thank you very much, I love Miss Saunders, says, oh no, that's a total error. And here's what you need to do. You need just to send a letter. Now, my account was supposed to do that. I don't know why they didn't. It's not a problem. But I'm like, oh, great. But if I was to up the anxiety and up the anger and get on the phone with Ms. Saunders and go, that's a lot less likely that Ms. Saunders is going to help me,
mm-hmm.
because she's going to be reacting and feel like I'm coming at her, right? So we tend to do that a lot. And imagine being in conversation with a prospective client, knowing that you're loved, supported, and provided for, and that this is just an exchange of resources rather than, oh my God, this person's the source of me and I need this person in order to pay my bills. It makes everything much more easier and graceful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And that's that difference between scarcity and abundance, right? That, you know, I've talked about a lot on this podcast lately with a lot of people, and being able to understand that difference, or at least catch it in the moment, right? We tend to get stuck in, like you said, like this habitual pattern of like how we react, how we respond, the things that we say, the things that we do. And then we wonder why nothing changes, right? And it's like, okay, but you're doing the exact same thing and expecting a different result, which, right, is the definition of insanity.
Of crazy. Yeah.
That is.
Yeah. Albert Einstein said that the same consciousness that created the problem cannot solve it, right?
Mm.
And my friend Jennifer Bloom always says, be in the consciousness of the solution. And that's what I teach people, how to be in the consciousness of the solution, because there's where miracles happen versus being always in the problem.
Oh, I love that. And you know, it makes, not only does it make so much sense, but really and truly, and this is, you know, a testament because I myself have been through it, to see the difference that it makes in your life as a whole, right? Like this isn't just for your business. This isn't just for your, like this is across the board, right? Like I started doing this with my teenagers who are now 19 and 15. And when we started conversating a few years ago, especially my oldest one, because him and I are both hotheads, and we both had a lot of trauma that we were dealing with that was not healed, and we were taking it out on each other and didn't realize it, right? But the moment that I decided to give him space, to allow him to explain himself versus me assuming I knew what he meant, the whole conversation like flipped on its head, right? And then because he saw the way that I was reacting and responding to him, he then started to reflect that back, right? And so now it's these beautiful open-ended conversations. And if he is having a moment of frustration or irritation, he knows that he can tell me and I can make the decision to either continue to talk to him or give him space and come back later.
And, you know, it becomes a difference of everyone operating on their own channel, because we're all operating on our own channel. We're making cameo appearances on other people's channels, but from a sense of I'm operating on my channel, you're operating your channel, and yet we can operate in a way that's co-creative and harmonious and with the same direction, or we can be operating in our trauma, our pain, our less than, our unworthiness. I prefer to do the first way because it's a lot more fun. And it also, things just happen faster, meaning, you know, you're not spending a lot of time in the murkiness and you're spending a lot of time in really fun stuff happening, which always makes for a great day.
Yeah, definitely. And that is the difference between focusing on autopilot, which so many of us are constantly on, right, all the time on a regular basis, or being able to make space to be present in that moment.
Yeah. I mean, I think when people are running a business, they get caught up in the results, and we need the results, don't get me wrong, but they forget that in order to achieve those results, there has to be a channel of easy flow versus the I've got to make things happen. And mm-hmm. I think they also forget why they started the business. What was the main reason? Right. And what do they require, especially for entrepreneurs, in order to feel sustainable themselves? Right. You know, if you're working 18-hour days and not eating, not sleeping, not, you know, that's not going to make for a sustainable business. Right. And so what do you really need? What support does the entrepreneur themselves need? And they're always so focused on doing that mm-hmm. they forget that creation starts and ends with them.
Mm. Oh, that's such a beautiful point too, right? Because I talk to so many people that are working so hard to make the business work. And like you said, at the same time, they're not putting themselves first. And, you know, people don't think about this, but like you were saying, if you're constantly trying to work and you're wasting your days away and you feel like you're filling them with other things, but you're not sleeping and you're not eating, you're basically putting that type of energy out into the world right. when you are talking with people, right? When you are conversating, when you are doing your lives or whatever the case may be, that energy is going to come out like that. How do you expect to build and match that beautiful positivity if that isn't what you are projecting? And I'm not saying that, you know, you necessarily do it on purpose, but I do think you're so right. We get in this mode of I need, instead of saying, okay, what kind of solutions right. could be a part of this? What does it mean for me? I mean, I have some people that run their business and they're building, but they still work part-time because having the sustainable income made sense for them. That doesn't mean that they're running their business wrong. That's right. how it worked for them, right? And I think that we get so caught up in what everybody is trying to sell us and what everybody is telling us online that we forget that you can do it the way that it works best for you.
Right. It's about, I think so often people do their life by jury a little bit here, ask this question. And by the end, they're like, well, what do I believe? Like, what works for me? What's going to make me happy? What feels good in my bones? And I think this also happens a lot, operations and marketing, right? Well, mm-hmm. I was told I need to do a newsletter every week, but I hate writing. Okay, so why are we doing that? Like, mm-hmm. how is that actually resonating with your community, right? And I think so often we're trying to convince our clients or our customers to buy or work with us. And it's really not about that. It's really about seeing if you guys are a match and knowing that you're going to be loved, supported, and provided for with every opportunity that comes along.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I love that too. You said journey with jury, journey with
doing your life by jury.
There we go. Doing your life. I'm like, I heard it and it stuck. And then I was like, and she talked more and I got lost in her beautiful words. Doing the journey. I love that because that is such a unique way to look at it because we're always looking for somebody else's advice, right? Whether it's our families, it's our friends, it's some people in some networking groups, like, and everybody has their own opinion.
Right.
The difference is not everybody has the ability to say, well, this is just my opinion and what worked for me. Maybe it might work for you, or, you know, possibly you could try this out. There are so many people that, and nothing wrong with it, right? Are so like wholeheartedly, like, this is how I did it. So this is how you should do it. That we're like, oh, well, they know and it worked for them. So right. like, it should work for me. That conviction comes through. Right. And I think that we get lost in that sometimes versus sitting with ourselves to really say, okay, does that even make sense to me? Because you know, right? I've talked with some people that give me stuff and I'm like, man, that sounds really great. And then I sit down, I'm like, I don't want to do that.
Right. And I think that's what's so great about soul language. What I do is it's a lot of amazing questions, right? And really teaching you how to go within for the answer. Because mm-hmm. when it all comes down to it, you're your greatest asset and you know what's right for you. You have to determine if you're in resistance and figure out why and have tools to do that. But most of us know when it doesn't resonate, right? When it doesn't resonate, it feels like cauliflower to me. I don't like cauliflower. You don't hear me going, oh my God, why don't I like cauliflower? No, it's like, I don't like cauliflower, right? Doesn't resonate. But sometimes what happens in the coaching world, when people, when we say it doesn't resonate, people go, you're in resistance. Now that can be true and it cannot resonate all at the same time. Right. So if you feel like you're in resistance, and we all know when we're in resistance, for me, it's like, I get really like, I want to kick things inside. Like I'm really childlike, like, oh, like, right. Right. So you have to understand how you're being in resistance, because you need to release the resistance to go to the next step of whatever you want to do, but don't let anyone, you know, talk you in or talk you out of something. If someone has to talk you into something or out of something, neither of those situations are workable, right? That's when you have to go in and go, okay, what's going on that I can't establish clarity for myself, and find someone who asks really good questions, because that's how clarity is achieved, by asking questions.
Yeah. Oh, I love this so much. And I, you have to go into this for me a little bit more, because I love the soul language. So you guys, I got a chance to do a small session with her and it was so much fun. And it's interesting because it really does make you think, but you have to think past the surface, right? You have to think past those surface thoughts and like really kind of sit with it for a minute, because the logical part of the brain, in my opinion, just kind of is like pinging, right? It's like, oh, we got all the answers. We got all the things. But you can, once you work with it, you can quiet it down enough to hear what's coming from the back end. So you have to explain to everybody the soul language. You have to give us a little bit of an insight and how people could start to really trust within themselves instead of all of these outside opinions.
Yeah, I think what happens with trust for internal is we think we've trusted ourselves before and the situation didn't work out the way we wanted it to. And so then we doubt our internal barometer. But in those situations, there's free will that everyone has. So you don't know what choices other people are going to make. And there's probably red flags. So you're hearing that kind of trust or that guidance through different layers, right? And so when we connect with our soul, we're going to Mecca, we're going to the most secure layer that we can. We're still going to hear it through human, because we are human, but we're bypassing a lot of the sensors of what, how we hear information. So each one of us has three core energies of soul. There's 107 core energies of soul across three different categories: your mission, how you feel that mission, and then your soulful personality. So we'll use me. So my mission here is called Equalizer. It's all about creating that perfect formula balance, first for myself, because it all starts at home, and then for others. How do I fuel that balance is through my language called Teacher of Integrity. So all of my life, I've been able to hear, feel, sense when people are out of the consciousness of love for themselves. I offer them the chance to get back in, which means whole and complete, which means they get back into their own personal formula of balance for manifestation, and they become an unstoppable freight train of goodness. And then now my last language is called, around soulful personalities, called Graceful Warrior. Action, movement, courage, and grace. Most of my life, not so graceful, at war with everything. But the moment I realized like I didn't have to be at war internally or externally, my life changed. I moved one house over. I got a publisher for my book. I found my person. My business grew and I was happier and I was at more peace, right? So when we have that structure to understand our soul language, it, you can use it from anything from using it as a one-liner at networking. So my purpose here is to create balance for myself and others through love, integrity, and courage. That's my one-liner. To utilizing it to see where you're putting pain and programming into your business. to utilize it in order to create healthier relationships and boundaries for yourself, it becomes a tool of connection. And so you're always going inward for the answer versus externally.
Oh, oh, so beautiful. So beautiful. Sorry, you guys, this is why I love her. Because, and to me, it's so easy to digest when you're explaining it as well, right? I have some people that are beautiful in what it is that they do, and they're so deeply ingrained in what they do that there is kind of that disconnect for those people that are kind of in the middle, right? And I've been on that fence for quite a while, or was, where I, you know, was like, I kind of understand what they're saying, but it kind of sounds a little weird. It is what it is. But when you really think about it from that perception, you really can trust yourself. It's just a lot of us have been taught not to, or a lot of us have had controlling relationships, controlling families that led us to listening to others more than ourselves, right? And those things are what get in the way of us actually releasing what it is that we really, truly want.
Right. And a lot of the energy that we have to create what we want and receive what we aren't want is being utilized to keep all of that emotion and pain in place. So I always tell people to do the penny game. I love this game. You take 100 pennies, right? And you get two cups, past cup and future cup. And every time you think about the past, you put a penny in the past cup. And every time you think about the future, you put a penny in the future cup. And at the end of the day, see how many pennies are left. That's the amount of energy that you have to create your life. A client was doing the penny game and she's like, I was left with two pennies. I'm like, yeah. You're lucky you're standing, because that's not a lot of energy to create what you want, right? And so you really have to start to kind of taking those pennies back. Because if you're creating on both of those, past or future, you're actually creating from a place of lack and worry. And so you actually have to start taking those pennies back by clearing, releasing those experiences that keep you in those unconscious situations.
Who is that?
You're going to play the penny game, aren't you?
I am so going to play the penny game. That's so, but you know what though? Like immediately when I thought about that, I was like, oh no, I'm totally doing that. And then I immediately was like, I should totally make my kids do that.
Well, here's another game you can make you and your kids play. This is my favorite. Okay. So you know how you make daisy chains, right? With the little construction paper. Okay. Mm-hmm. So on every slip of a daisy chain, you write what you're not forgiving about yourself or about someone else, and you put the chain together.
Ooh.
And then you wrap yourself in the chain, and you have to walk around the house and do things for an hour with that chain. And you will see, it will be a physical representation about how lack of forgiveness or non-acceptance is actually physically getting in your way, which means it's energetically getting away, and you're carrying on that all into everything you do. And then you start to take the daisy chain apart. And each day you work on one of those things that you want to release or forgive or accept. Yeah, it's a great game.
Blowing moments. Yeah. That is awesome. You know what? I've never thought about that either. Like, I wrote down the things before and really kind of gauged that. But that is such a visual and physical representation. Like, so for all you people that writing and stuff like that does not align with you, like, ta-da, you now have two awesome games.
Right. I mean, here's the thing. I did it a while ago, and I was like, I can't even wash a dish. Like there, like it was everywhere. Right. And it's just paper. So it's still annoying and getting in the way.
Yeah.
And it became a lot really clear about, you know, the internal lack of forgiveness, the internal non-acceptance, and then the external, and how, oh, look, that's affecting how I talk to my clients about, or possible clients about, money, because I haven't forgiven that. So I can't get out at the time, my figures, because I wasn't in acceptance about that. Yeah. So it becomes a life changer.
Yeah. No, I love it. And for any of you out there that your immediate thought was, well, how do I even know what it is I want to forgive? You have to sit down and get very real with yourself. Very honest, very real. And I will tell you that I have done that multiple times and it can be extremely hard, right? Because you alone are having to face your demons. Yeah. There isn't anyone there to push it to the side. There isn't anyone to say, oh, well, it's not that big of a deal. You really have to sit with yourself and face the monsters that you've been shoving in the closet for so long. And, you know, this is a perfect example of when I came out of my abusive relationship and how long I continued to sweep everything under the rug, right? That had to do with me, any of my issues, I don't have time for that. I've got to go do this. I have to go take care of my kids. I need to help my family. I've got work to do, right? Like, it's so easy to have those thoughts pop up and then you just real quick, oh, well, I've got this. I can worry about that later. Making the time for this type of healing, for this type of growth, is going to be extremely uncomfortable. And at the same time, so releasing.
Yeah. And start, if you don't know where to start with the things that you either complain the most about or you're rolling around and repeating in your head.
Mm.
Right? Like those things that you keep trying. You keep running the situation over and over and over and over again. You know, oh, I should have said that and I should have done that. Those are the things that you should start with. Like, start there and then you can keep going deeper and deeper. But if you need to, start with those things to get your kind of the ball rolling.
Yeah, definitely. I love that. And I didn't even think about that because I was one of those people and I still catch myself occasionally, but not as often, where you know, you get off a call or you're in a situation and you run the scenario through and it's like, well, it's already happened.
Right.
Right. Like, what am I supposed to do? Right. How is this supposed to fix it? What is the, even if I solve the problem, what good does that do? It's already passed.
But here's the thing, the subconscious doesn't know that it's just in your head. So you can really, there's a process where you can heal some things by running that situation over in your head the way you wanted it to go. But you also have to be willing to release the imprint of it on your system and your energetics and in your body. And this is a whole hour conversation. But, you know, like, here's the thing. Start to do one thing. Be consistent about it, right? Don't try to do all the tips because you're going to be like, right?
Yep.
One thing, be consistent, notice the change, allow goodness into your world, and then see what you want to transform from there.
Yes, 1000%. Yes. Like, and everyone knows that this is like a huge thing that I talk about is making those small micro changes. Because you're right, our systems are not built to handle just like uprooting all the things right. And changing all the stuff in our lives. And so many times I feel like, and I know I did this myself when I first got into the healing mode, I would try like everything. Like, oh, that sounds really great. And then I could try this. And then while I may have had some small breakthroughs or things that were like aha moments, I was so drained after doing all the things that there wasn't space for acceptance and to release or to work through what may come up again. So I love that so much because yes, you are so right. Like small steps, one thing at a time, plan it out, make it like a goal for this month and then a different goal for next month. But yes. All the things. No, it's so true. So, oh gosh, Jennifer, I feel like we could just continue going down this rabbit hole so much. Like for real, you guys, you have to find her. You have to follow her because the subconscious is so fascinating once you really get past that habitual thinking, when you really right. start to realize the things that you do on your day to day that you don't even realize you're doing because it's just so motionless. Right. It's so conscious that you're not even aware that you're doing it. Right. And it's, to me, it's always intriguing and it's like a new discovery when I catch myself doing something and then I realize, have I been doing that the whole time? Yeah. Was I doing that earlier? Do I do this all the time? And I don't even know that I'm doing it. Like it's like discovering yourself all over again.
Yeah. It's like, whoa, who knew that? Like you know, it also allows you to also understand how much you don't know, right? Like how mm-hmm. much, you know, if you paid attention to yourself or just a little bit more, what else could you utilize? What else could you develop? You know, how much more fun could you have? Versus then just kind of going through the motions of life or your business.
Yeah, definitely. So many things. I hope you guys are taking notes. So before we go, Jennifer, one of the things I always love asking my guests is, do you happen to have a quote or a piece of advice you'd like to leave the audience with?
Yeah, I always tell clients this, to ask yourself this. If you knew you were whole and complete, what would you say and what would you do today?
That's a good one. I love that. Okay. Well, before we head off, Jennifer, tell us then, how can everybody find you? How can they connect with you? How can they be in your world?
Yeah. Soullanguage.us is the website. I am Jennifer Rizzio on Facebook, Soul Language on Twitter, and Soul Language Founder on Instagram. I answer my own emails. You can also call, but please don't call in the middle of the night because you're going to get my high squeaky voice. And reach out, ask a question. I don't want anyone to feel alone or unsupported. So let's come play.
Oh, I love that so much. Thank you, Jennifer, for being a part of the podcast and sharing all the goodness and to everybody else out there. Of course, we'll make sure all this information is in the show notes so that you guys can go and follow her, connect with her. And if you're looking to make some transformations in your life, maybe having a consultation for the soul language may be exactly what you need. So thank you so much, Jennifer, for being a part of the podcast today.
Thank you.
To everybody else that's out there, I hope you got your mind blown as much as I just did and that you were taking notes. And be sure to really pay attention and be in the presence. Be in the present moment. It is a game changer. And I say that from personal experience. So I hope that you got some amazing takeaways. And don't forget, until next time, do one thing positive for someone each and every day and see the difference that it makes in your life. So until next time, have a fantastic day. Hello again, and thank you so much for being a part of the podcast today. If you enjoyed this episode and it brought tons of value, we ask that you please share, like, and subscribe. Your support means the world to us and helps us to reach even more inspiring entrepreneurs who can benefit from these powerful conversations. If you haven't already, be sure to leave a review on your favorite podcast platform, as this feedback is an amazing gift that fuels our growth and helps us to continually improve this podcast. Looking for an extra dose of inspiration and empowerment? Then be sure to connect with me on social media. You can find me at The Lotus Effect, where I share valuable resources and tips while sharing my own journey of being an entrepreneur. And if you're interested in learning more about my coaching programs and services, be sure to check out my website at the-lotus-effect.com. Once again, thank you so much for being a part of Real Chat with Kat. Your presence and support makes all the difference. Remember, whether you find yourself in the depths of the mud or on the path of growth, we all have a unique journey. And just like the lotus, some of us start in the dirtiest of mud, yet as we rise and grow, we blossom into something beautiful, unique, and truly one of a kind. To all of my visionaries out there, keep rising and growing as you create your own
Lotus Effect.